Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you remember Eeyore, the frumpy, frowning friend of Winnie the Pooh? In the hands of Disney, Eeyore is a slow-moving, slow-talking, stuffed donkey with a depressing outlook on life. One that reigns on most of the adventurous, optimistic plans suggested by the Bear of Little Brain. Eeyore is Pooh's polar opposite. But they still get along pretty well because for all his gloominess, deep down inside, Eeyore wants to believe that Pooh's sunny worldview is true. When I read the book of Ecclesiastes, I think of Eeyore. It was written by King Solomon, David's son, and he had it all. At the beginning of Solomon's reign, he prayed for wisdom to rule his people well, and God gave it to him. God also gave Solomon great prosperity and authority. Solomon built up the nation of Israel to make it a significant power among its neighbors. He negotiated trade deals with all kinds of other nations. He had God's temple built in glory as a spiritual gathering place for Israel at worship. He recruited a strong army to maintain the security of his kingdom. And his wisdom led him to write and collect thousands of proverbial sayings to express the height and the depth, the width and the breadth of his great wisdom. Israelites would look back on the reign of Solomon as the golden age of their nation. But by the time Solomon drew near to the end of his life, he began to see through what most people considered the glories of his kingdom and the wonders of life in this world. Solomon recognized that there was something wrong with it all. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? In life, we are driven to do, to work, to achieve, to succeed. And it has always been that way. Solomon was so driven. But when Solomon stopped and asked himself why, he couldn't come up with a satisfactory answer. If life is about winning the prize, what happens when you've won? What then? You move on to another challenge, perhaps? But how many of those can you take on in one lifetime? And what happens when you die? You see, that was the thing that really stuck in Solomon's craw. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet he will be master of all for which I have toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This is also vanity. Solomon lamented that death would render his whole life's work a loss, a waste, vanity. If that sounds Eeyore-ish, then I would tend to agree. But that doesn't make it untrue. Jesus taught much the same thing in the parable we heard from Luke this morning. The man the Lord described enjoyed great prosperity in his life. He really had it made. His fields yielded such a great harvest in one year that his only problem seemed to be finding adequate space to store everything. So he tore down his old barns and put up new, bigger ones. Problem solved, he thought, until he died that very night. Then he stood before God naked. with nothing to show for all his earthly success. God judged this man a fool, a pauper in his sight. Vanity of vanities. Now, Solomon's insight may not be uplifting or inspiring for people who think of life in this world as an end in itself. But perhaps that is his point. Ecclesiastes challenges the approach to living that says, this that I can see, this that I can lay my hands on, this is all there is. And it encourages us instead to ask, is this all there is? Solomon hints at the answer. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? So if living and working cannot provide us with any lasting benefit, any eternal heritage, because of our death, because we're mortal, Solomon says at least we can experience moments of goodness in the simple acts of living, as we eat and drink, as we bathe and sleep, as we work and play, as we talk and listen to one another. That satisfaction, that contentment in life, Solomon said, is God's gift to us. And there's the hint. Meaning in life comes not from us and our efforts, or from this world and all that it has to offer us, but from God, who made us and graciously provides for us with all good things. Apart from him, who can eat and find enjoyment? Jesus, sounding much like old Solomon, asked, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? We cannot find lasting benefit or meaning by living our lives simply for the sake of ourselves in this world, because to do so is to ignore or deny that we were created for more than that. We are souls. That is, we are creatures who can never truly be ourselves apart from God, our Creator. Without God, all is vanity. But we are also sinners, and we're so easily duped by the many false promises that this world gives to us. Ogden Nash wrote a poem that well describes our inability to free ourselves from the grip of earthly things. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity that's any fun at all for humanity. The prophets chant, the prophets chatter, but somehow it never seems to matter. For the world hangs on to its ancient sanity and orders another round of vanity. If we have no power within ourselves to turn away from the world in search of something more than vanity, where are we? Are we left to despair? Must we shuffle along through life like Eeyore following Pooh, just putting in our time on this earth until its time comes to an end? There is another way. God made this way of life especially for us. He sent his eternal Son to live with us as one of us in this world of vanity. Jesus proclaimed and demonstrated that there is more than this lonely, transitory, meaningless life that we perceive. He called it God's kingdom, the reign of his loving Father. He opened its door to each one of us by undergoing the very thing that Solomon so lamented in our reading today. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This is also vanity and a great evil. In his life, Jesus toiled with wisdom, with knowledge, and with skill beyond any other human being. He taught and lived God's law purely and completely. He turned his back on every temptation Satan set in his way, even the offer of all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Then Jesus died. Now, as his heartbroken friends laid his lifeless body in a rich man's tomb, it looked to all that Jesus too had succumbed to the prevailing vanity of this world. That is, until he rose from the dead. When Jesus rose, his disciples saw that God's reign overturns the ways of this world. In his death, Jesus truly left everything he accomplished to be enjoyed by those who did not toil for it. You know who those were? You and me. What did we do to receive the inheritance that God gives us in Jesus Christ? Nothing. Because as it turns out, Jesus accomplished for us by living for our sakes and giving it all up for us something that is not vanity or a great evil, but something that God calls grace. The gift of God that saves us from sin and death. The Lord Jesus lived to leave us an inheritance for which we did not toil, that is richer than anything we can find in this world. Jesus died and rose from the dead to give us forgiveness for the greed, the lust, and the pride that keep us seeking after the things, pleasures, and achievements of life in this world as an end in themselves. He gives us the Holy Spirit, who opens our eyes with faith to see life in this world as God's gift to be lived for his praise, for the well-being of our neighbors, and in hope of eternal life. From Jesus' inheritance, we receive our true identity. We're children of God. Christ has made us so. We've been forgiven to forgive. We've been blessed to be a blessing. Our toil and our labor in this life as trusting children of God is never in vain. For it is God who works in us, both to will and to work his good pleasure. Though God alone merits the praise for the service that we render to him by loving our neighbors in life, he still graciously credits that blessing to our account. And he has promised that he will count us rich towards him on Judgment Day, all because Jesus made us his heirs. Poor old Eeyore, with his eyes so stuck looking at the dust and the ground around him. And wise Solomon, for all his great wisdom, he found in himself about the same thing that Eeyore found. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But sisters and brothers in Jesus, we hear the voice of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we live by faith in his promise. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So, as we live and work in this world, we set our eyes and our minds upon the things that are above, where our Lord has prepared for us an eternal home. And in Christ, nothing is in vain. Praise be to him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.